look and see how people are doing. Give them an opportunity to ask. Don't come in like you're a bull in a china shop, thinking you know the answer or that you should be listened to in a certain way. Look and see what they need.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another one of our sessions on servant leadership at Celon. We are grateful today to be joined by co-owners of the Seattle Storm and recent clients of ours, Ginny Gilder and Lisa Mel. And we're going to have a conversation around one of the five ways of being in servant leadership, which is the way of being called being useful. And as I've expressed in the past, I find sometimes the notion of being useful as a leader, sometimes one of the more difficult of the ways of being. And I'll talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to get into some Q&A about all that. But just as a reminder for everybody who's tuning in yet again, we talk about servant leadership at Celon as being this notion that it is our job as leaders to build high trust relationships with the people that we are leading so we can help them be their best selves and their most impactful and effective selves, not just in their work life, but in their whole life. And that's really our job. And that's a bit of a pivot from the old school kind of more command and control leadership style. But it is our responsibility as leaders across the company to think about the ways that we need to show up for the teams we're leading and support them. And this notion of being useful is a challenging one, in part because it will mean something different to everyone you're leading. And so you need to know that person well enough to understand what they need when it's your responsibility to push them a little bit and bring challenge and show them your belief in them and what you see as their potential, even if they're falling short of it currently. And you need to know them well enough to understand when they might need a pat on the back and a little support and a little less push. And that's all of our jobs as leaders to build relationships where we can tell the difference and we can be nimble and in the moment able to support our teams and the folks we're leading in the most effective way possible. So that's what we're talking about today. That's the very short version of what being useful looks like. And I'm thrilled that Ginny and Lisa are joining us. Thank you both very much. Maybe just before we get going, if you guys could maybe introduce yourselves and your capacity as co-owners of the Seattle Storm and sort of kind of the rest of what makes you tick.
Great. Maybe I'll get it started and then turn it over to Ginny. So hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Brummel, one of the co-owners of the Seattle Storm. We're now entering, as an ownership group, our 17th season, which is kind of amazing. We've been through a lot together. In my prior life, I spent 25 years at Microsoft, 15 years in product development, 10 running HR. Retired a few years ago, and I'm now spending almost all my time working on things at the Storm and associated projects. It's been, you know, really exciting. And when you run a smaller business that's growing quickly, there's a lot of servant leadership opportunities that you come across every single day. So look forward to talking to everybody about that.
Thank you, Lisa.
I'm Ginny Gilder. I'm with Brum, one of the co-owners of the Storm, and I've been partners with her now, as she said, for now 16 years going into our 17th. Everything started really kind of unfortunately when the Sonics left Seattle and we got to try to keep at least part of basketball, pro basketball in the city by holding on to the Storm. I came from a world of sports, but not basketball. I'm a two-time Olympic rower from the 1980 and 84 Olympics. And sports has always been a very important part of my life, but I was an entrepreneur doing small businesses, starting with a nonprofit in the early 90s that I started working with women on public assistance, where I got a lot of my in the trenches training about what leadership does and does not mean, and then went into the investment business with my father and started a family investment office about 20 years ago. So in some ways, I'm the polar opposite of Lisa, because she's been in a big business for a lot of her career, and I've really never worked in a big business.
And together, you have managed to create an incredible championship organization, and you have each obviously come at it from, as you described, Jenny, kind of two different paths. Could you talk about maybe before the storm, any influences in your life or leadership examples or mentors that have helped shape the way each of you and you two together have thought about leading the organization that you're running today and what that looks like?
So my dad was a huge influence in my life. And my mom was an immigrant. Never went to college. She didn't go to college until she was in her 60s. So when I was growing up, my father was the one who was the role model in terms of an education. And I would always listen to him talk about business, and he was in the investment business, had started his own firm, which ended up being quite successful. But the thing that he always said to me was, you want to be of service. Wherever you get a job, you want to look around and see what you can do to be useful. But he didn't come at it from a leadership perspective, because I don't think he ever thought that I would be a leader. And certainly back in the 1960s and early 70s, the concept of leadership was very different from what you're talking about, what we're talking about today. But it did set me up to think about, what am I supposed to be doing? And it's really, in some ways, not about what I want to do, but what's needed. However, he also said to me something that took a long time for me to figure out, which was, do what you love. So I was like, how do you do what you love and be useful at the same time? And for those are, in some ways, they felt opposite, because one is so personal and feels so private, and the other one is so outwardly focused. But in fact, I discovered over time that they're actually quite connected, because when you do what you love, you're actually modeling a way of being in the world and in the business world that people don't always feel adventurous enough, if you will, to do.
I would say I came at it slightly differently. I was an athlete in high school and college also, and really loved sort of competing. I loved winning, but I loved competing because I thought it was always so challenging. And I felt like business was the right step after athletics. I had the opportunity to potentially play professional basketball. I was drafted, but it just didn't seem like the right step out of college. I really wanted to get into the work world, and the business world in general was where I felt like I had my greatest connection. And I would say that, I learned a lot, and I don't think there's one mentor or one role model for me. I like to learn from everyone around me. And I like to, there's some people who lead very differently than I do. And then some people who lead similarly to the way I do. There's value in all of it. I mean, you can ask yourself the question, why does that person do that? And what result are they getting? And should I do more of that or less of that? Because you have to always be self-reflective, I think. To be useful, you have to continue to ask yourself, what am I being given? What's in front of me? What do I know about it? Am I making assumptions about it that are correct? Am I making assumptions about it that aren't correct? And how do I take that information and be useful as a leader? When you play sports, take basketball, for example, you have to decide in the moment, what do I do right now? And what is everyone else doing around me? And how should I play off them and with them? And I think that idea plays in business as well. So what you learn in the moment, you have very little time on the basketball court to make a decision. You have three options, pick one, it works, it doesn't work. The next play starts, you have to pick another one. I mean, it's constantly, constantly decision-making. And to be useful, you have to understand how to parse the information you're given and how to respond to that. And if I look at the people I've been involved with, at Microsoft, there were hundreds of leaders. Let's start with Bill Gates. Let's go to Steve Ballmer. Let's go to some of the technical leadership. Lots and lots of people who have a very specific way of leading. And then other people who, and I think those were more, they were independent entrepreneurial leaders, and that's how they did it. And then we had more of what I'll call trained leadership, people who had a different style. So I had the benefit of learning from lots of different people. And what I will tell you again, while I am not at all like some of them, I absolutely learned something from everyone.
And you, and what you said at the beginning is so true. It's ultimately, it's about figuring out our own approach to serving others. As long as it starts with this notion that it's our job to help the people on our teams, the people in our company, the people in our lives be their best selves. And we as leaders own that responsibility and feel some passion and some connection to it, then the rest can kind of sort itself out. And you get lots of examples from people about the different ways to lead. We didn't talk about it at the beginning, but just as a reminder to everybody who's tuned in, you know, the other ways of being are first and foremost, be authentic, right? Know yourself to lead yourself. It starts with understanding who you are, what makes you tick. Then it's being vulnerable. And it's our job as leaders to bring vulnerability into the relationship and not expect it from the other until we're willing to lead with it. Because in vulnerability, we create empathy between people by sharing our fears and hopes and anxieties and all of that. You create a deeper, more real connection. And then there's the notion of being present. And the value that we bring as leaders, just when we take the time to put everything down and look someone in the eye and really listen to them and really hear them and be there for them in a moment, the value of being present is super powerful. There's being accepting, and that's a little bit, as you were referring, Brum, that, you know, accepting that there's lots of leadership styles and that people are coming into our lives from lots of different places and they're on their own journey. And it's not our place to, you know, to judge that journey. It's our job to help them be as impactful as they can on that journey. And then the last one, of course, is being useful, which is how do we do that, right? What's it look like for folks? So you guys have each touched on some of the rest of those components as well. And I'd love to explore that a little bit. But before we go into there, I can't help but ask at least for a minute to share this incredible journey you've been on with Storm from when, like you said, everybody else was leaving town and you guys saved it. And the incredible job you have all done in building it to the organization it is today with championship success, with the brand value, with the broad appeal now and the incredible momentum that is around women's sports, women's professional sports. I just would love to have everyone at Celent hear a little bit of what is that ride been like? What's the journey been like? What's been most rewarding, I guess, for you over these last 17 years or so?
Well, you probably know what's been most rewarding because Celent helped us create it. Which is our new home. It's not that's separate really from our three championships that we've won. It's a representation of those championships and representation of the organization that we have. And I think getting to do this and being successful in doing it nails a lot of what you mentioned in leadership. I mean, it took so much like courage really to decide we are going way out of the box of what it means to be a women's professional sports team and inventing it now based on what we want like selfishly, but what we want for women athletes, what we want for what our community to look like. We want our community in Seattle to be a place that gives access to opportunity to girls and women, just like boys and men. So designing and building this with an amazing team, being part of putting that team together and finding people who cared as much as we do, like Celent, about the value set of how we run our business was Unexpected, actually. I don't think when we started this, we thought about that aspect of things, that we were going to end up partnering across the design and construction board, the permitting board. You think about the City of Seattle folks who helped us, that we were going to find partners who cared as much as we do about progressive values, just to put a quick adjective on stuff. So that has been incredibly rewarding. And now that we have this physical place that embodies who we are, so that when you walk into 1616 West Bertona, you don't have to be told who the storm is. You just feel it and see it. And I don't know that we're ever going to top this in some ways, although we're going to try, because we are working on championship number five.
But I think there was a very important meeting that happened shortly after we came together, and I think it's really kind of the core of being a leader or forming leadership. We got together in my office at Microsoft, and we each asked each other, why are we doing this? Why are we here? What do we want to accomplish? Why do we think this is an important thing for us to do? Are we all willing to take this risk? And kind of, do we have each other's backs? And again, Dawn and I had worked together, but it had been a number of years. Ginny and I had never worked together. Dawn and Ginny had worked together, but it had been a couple of years. So it wasn't like we worked together every day and knew each other. We were also forming as a team. And I think this meeting where we solidified our values, we solidified why we wanted to do this, and the attributes we wanted to get out of it is something we still refer to, in the 17th season.
You're really talking about purpose, right? You guys sat around the table and decided, why are we doing this and what are we hoping to achieve and what is the impact we're trying to have? And 5 years ago or so at Celent, we had those same conversations across the entire company and with 144 people, I think, all participated from every corner of the company. And we asked people to share what they loved about Celent, what they would love to see change about Celent. And importantly, we asked them to share the very best day they'd ever had at Celent, no matter what that looked like. And the feedback and the stories were just incredible. And what the common thread through all of them was this notion of being in service to others, that everything was connected back to the reason people got up in the morning and came to work every day is this notion that we get to serve others. And we came away from that whole process with a lot of great feedback and a purpose statement, which is that our purpose is to improve the lives of those around us as builders, partners, and neighbors. Because we heard stories about the builder part. People are really proud of what we build and what it does as partners, and this is very much a team sport. We have to be a good partner. We get to work with great partners. And then as neighbors, and so what's our role and our obligation to give back, to serve the community, and be a good neighbor in the broadest sense of that term. So that was a really powerful set of conversations across our company that we continue to talk about all the time. The other thing we've talked about around Celent, and if you're willing to share a little bit about how do you apply these notions outside of your work life, in your whole life, as we talked about at Celent. And we get a lot of great feedback from folks around the kinds of ways we're talking about leadership at Celent are really valuable to be applied outside of work and, in their family relationships and their friendships and sort of their personal life as well. And how have you seen servant leadership or being useful or those concepts show up or be valuable in your personal relationships as well?
Well, I think one of the most important things is just being human, like really acknowledging, that there's everybody has a full panoply of life experiences. And when you lead with your humanity, you don't have business in one bucket and life in the other. There's a much more of a kind of natural flow back and forth, because the reason that business works is because of people, and the reason that businesses don't work is because of people. So I think, and I really learned so much about human relationships and leadership, mostly by screwing up. I mean, I didn't have the benefit of other leaders who I could pattern myself on. until I joined the storm. And then, I mean, I never really thought of myself as a leader. It kind of happened. But certainly what I see in my life that's changed so much in the last 15 years is really recognizing how important it is to start from the place that somebody is well-intentioned. So if they screwed something up, I want to understand, like, what were they thinking? Like, how did we get there, as opposed to assuming that they were trying to do something wrong or they didn't care, right? So, and I also, I mean, we have 5 children who are all well over 30 now. And I've learned this adage of speak when spoken to. And really what that means to me is just pay attention, look and see how people are doing. Give them an opportunity to ask for something. Don't come in like you're a bull in a china shop thinking you know the answer or that you should be listened to in a certain way. Look and see what they need, you know? And sometimes you might actually have to wait for them to ask, and that you don't get to decide what they need, because part of being a grown-up, if you will, whether you're in your personal life or your professional life, is asking for what you need. So then that means, how do you behave? How do I behave so that it's safe to ask me for help? So that I'm open enough and accessible emotionally as well as from a time perspective. And sometimes that requires my asking questions, like, tell me how you're doing, right? I have to demonstrate that it's not inauthentic, but I have to make an effort to make sure I know how my people are doing. And certainly at the storm, you know, you walk in, you want to talk to people, find out what they're thinking about. It's just life. So for me, there's no family, you know, outside life here and business life here. It's kind of all the same. It's just interwoven. And I think that's a really healthy way to live. And when you remember that business is your bottom line, is really, obviously we all need our bottom line to work. But really what needs to work is that people need to feel connected and that we're all working on something that's meaningful. And, you know, I think the reason that the concept of servant leadership works so well is because really all we ever want to do as humans is contribute to each other.
Yeah, it's the most important thing. I love the way you describe that, that dynamic in relationship building and being available to whether it's your kids or the folks on your team or whoever it is. That's just a great way to lead your life, right? We do have a responsibility to build a relationship with people, a high trust relationship where people feel comfortable bringing their concerns, their needs, you know, into that. And that doesn't start with them. It starts with us creating that relationship first, I think. So Bram, do you have anything to add to that?
I would add sort of a counterpoint to it, maybe.
Great.
I think I agree with everything that Jenny said. There's nothing that I disagree with. I do think, though, as leaders and people who are often sought out for various, you know, mentoring or parenting or anything like that, you also have to have grace to say, I don't have the bandwidth for this right now. You have to be able to help people understand you also have, you are capacity constrained, emotionally, time-wise, whatever it might be. And it's okay. As a leader, you don't have to be available 24/7 to people. People may want that, but I think to sustain yourself as an engaged person, forget leader, just to sustain yourself and be helpful to people, you also have to pace yourself. It's no different than, you know, being an athlete. Ginny's an endurance athlete. She paces herself very differently than I do. I will never go on a bicycle ride with her, just so you know. I'll make that very clear. She's been trying for 20 years. I will not, because we each have different ways that we rejuvenate ourselves. But you have to, as a leader, and as a servant leader, give yourself the space to do that and do it in a way that's both authentic and other people understand what you're doing. You're not putting them off. You're just saying, I need a minute. Yeah. And it's okay to say, I need a minute. It's very empowering for them, because then they realize they have permission to do it as well.
Yeah, agree. Yeah, that whole notion of knowing yourself to lead yourself, it starts with understanding, you know, when we need to catch our breath and take a break and have a little space, and making that clear to our teams does model that that's okay. Everybody needs that. Everybody has that. We can't all be all on all the time. And so that's important, and to create balance in the things that we are committing to, because often, and this will segue a little bit into our my last question, which is really around community engagement. But I think each of us is also, you know, in addition to our day job, if you will, we're also involved in supporting organizations in the community or trying to make a difference and an impact in the community through our work and through our own other efforts. So can you talk a little bit about what that's looked like for the Storm? I mean, you're doing it beautifully from my perspective. It's clear that it's authentic and it's rooted in the things you are really passionate about and think will make and help create a better community. And I've been super impressed with it. So I'd love to hear how you guys have thought about sort of the community engagement and community impact parts of what you're doing.
This wasn't something that ever had to be manufactured, if you will. I mean, women's sports naturally has, I mean, if you wanted to play sports, I mean, I was, when I started college, Title IX had just been passed. So if you wanted to be an athlete in the 60s or 70s into the 80s, you had to learn, unfortunately, that there wasn't much space for you. That just, there wasn't interest in you. So when I came onto the Storm ownership group, for me, it was really all about access to opportunity. That's why I bought in. I wanted to expand access to opportunity for, you know, 50% of the population that wasn't viewed as having the same natural right, if you will, to play sports or to pursue that part of life for a living if they wanted to. So what we say about the Storm and now the WNBA is our franchise lives at the intersection of business, sports, and social change. So we're probably not going to put that sign up outside our building, but I'm tempted every once in a while. So it's a natural outflow from, you know, the fact that just our existence as a business is, you know, an act of, you know, activism, that anything we do in the community flows from that baseline, you know, passion to create access to opportunity. And then over the years, and it really culminated in 2020, when everything in the country erupted around Black Lives Matter, and we had our season in the bubble in Bradenton, Florida. So we had 144 WNBA athletes all working together. That was when we really started to recognize, oh my gosh, this isn't just an organizational issue. This is something that our players care deeply about. So we then created a whole platform that is fueled by and informed by what our players care about. So from the inside out, if you will, this is, and I wouldn't even say, of course it's authentic, but it's a natural expression of our identity. Our community has grown and changed and really embraced this whole idea of access to opportunity. This just isn't a Storm thing. We certainly are an expression of the community, but we're really blessed to live in a city where people embrace this value set.
Yeah, agree. It's one of the best things about the Pacific Northwest. I think there's an ethos here that really leans into that and is not afraid to be first and make change and take some risk and innovate. That's just sort of in the water up here, if you will. And it's now playing out in some, I think, really impactful ways in terms of social change. And it's fun to be in a community that cares about that. Okay, so I want to just wrap up with maybe giving you each a chance to share any advice that you might have with, there's lots of leaders and potential leaders and future leaders at Celent who will be watching this. And what advice do you have for someone early or later in their career who's trying to think about the impact they can have? And to your earlier point, Jeannie, kind of connecting both your passions and your skills in a way that is, you know, leads to a fulfilling life. I'd love to hear what advice you have for folks.
First, You know, I want to say thank you to Celent. We asked you to give us a team that aligned with our values. We asked you to give us a team that could deliver a project on time and on budget. We asked you to maybe extend beyond your normal comfort zone, and you all went way beyond that. And we have loved working with you. We value every member of the Celent team and appreciate that you've gone on this journey with us. Fully understand that we have this beautiful place and it wasn't without, you know, difficulty along the way and solving problems and things that didn't turn out the way we thought they would. And you all have done an amazing job. So personally, thank you so much for everything. It's went well, the relationship went well beyond what I would have expected. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for putting your trust in us. It has been an honor to be part of your team and to create an amazing new home.
I will also say on the leadership side and advice side, I'll say the same thing I said when I left Microsoft. I left with three pieces of advice. First, be courageous. Second, do what you love. And third, have a sense of humor. I mean, they all kind of come together. And if you can use that as sort of your leadership mantra, the rest of the details will fall into place. They really will. Good people will come to good ends. And if you communicate well and aren't afraid to kind of get out there and do your thing, you know, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Great, great advice. Love it. How about you, Ginny?
You know, the only one that I would add to what Brum said, because I think courage is a big one, is bet on yourself. Like, it's so easy. I mean, we are all so good at talking ourselves away from taking risk. But if you're not going to bet on yourself, why should anyone else? Mm-hmm. And I think a part of betting on yourself involves being very clear about what you're afraid of and looking at your fear from a slightly out, you know, from a position outside yourself to evaluate whether that's what should drive your decision-making. We're also good at figuring out why we shouldn't do something and what the cost is if we do it. But what about the other side, which is what's the upside if we do it? If, you know, or what's the cost if we don't do it?
Thank you. And thank you both. And again, on behalf of, you know, the entire Celent team that was on the center, and for all of us at Celent, it has been a genuine honor and a privilege to be a part of your world and a part of that experience. We are all crazy proud to have had that chance and hopefully delivered for you. I very much appreciate the way you've included the whole team in your thank yous and your celebration. And I thought the event the other day where you talked about creating a home and the you know, what's in a home and what makes a home and all the elements that were so central to the project right from the outset. It bled through the entire experience for everybody that I think was, you know, played any role whatsoever. Everybody felt that's what we were all about doing, is creating a home that we would all be proud to and fortunate to be in and around. And you guys have just done an incredible job of setting that vision and then creating a team and a culture that could deliver on it. So thank you from all of us at Celent for allowing us to play a role and help be a part of that. I know it's touched a lot of lives here at Celent, and we're grateful to both of you for making that possible.